Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: vocation, calling, and election. Chapter 7. Refraining from human competitiveness toward callings. It may seem strange, but many people use their so-called callings received from God to compare themselves to others and to try to elevate themselves above other people, following one of the accentuated characteristics of many people in the world and who do not walk under God's personal direction. Nevertheless, competitiveness makes no sense among Christians, God's children, or those who are constituted as the Heavenly Father's family. If God calls Christians to cooperate in different ways and through different gifts with the other children of God in their paths of life in the Lord, it makes no sense for people to start using stages and pulpits to dispute whether their lectures, oratories, or ministries are better than other people who yearn to serve the Lord. If an individual announces God's message as the Lord instructs one to do, one is being faithful to the Lord and, therefore, doing the will of God. Thus, it makes no sense to compare, in competitive terms, whether what one is doing is superior or better than what others are also doing according to God's will, unless one's announcements are not messages from God indeed, but messages focused on the people's attention to praise the pride of the one who announces the message or exercises some ministry. For many people, the calling they claim to have received from God is for them like another item of their vanity and not an invitation from God to serve Him in humility and to do good according to the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus. A Christian is of the same heavenly family as another Christian. All genuine Christians are brethren, regardless of what tribe, people, nation, or natural language they descend from. And since the vocation that every Christian receives from God is to glorify Christ in everything and to glory in the Lord in all things, and not in human abilities and deeds according to the flesh, why, then, would Christians dispute between themselves who is the best among them? Or yet, who are those who attain more prominence and eminence than others? A Christian is not called to compete with another Christian because of a calling from God, as well as for any other reason. Competitiveness between fellow believers in Christ is a way of corrupting the hearts of those who surrender to it. Competitiveness can be a reason for discord, contention, and damage to the relationships of those who claim to want to serve the Lord. And even worse, there are people who do not even compete for the calling they think they have received from God but compete because of the callings of others to which they adhere to and defend. Competitiveness around personal callings, or other people's callings, is called in the Scriptures as walking or behaving according to men and not according to God, as we have been taught since the first years in which the Christian life began to be present on earth. An aspect exemplified in the following text. 1 Corinthians 3, 3-4. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Every Christian is called to be faithful to God and the invitations, callings, that the Lord made to him or her. And it is up to the Lord to determine the most appropriate and useful functions and actions for each one to be called to practice, showing us the Scriptures that, in everything, sovereignty over all always belongs to the Father of all. 1 Corinthians 3, 5-7. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers, servants, through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 4, 1-2. Let a man so consider us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But why, then, Do people continue to insist so much on competition also for the exaltation of what they call their callings or their vocations? Many people compete so much for what they call their callings to be exalted before others because they do not know or resist knowing God and the riches of the Lord towards His saints, because they are greedy or jealous, and because they want what they value to be the best callings to profit more from them. Or yet, because they have a mentality of callings according to the order of Aaron or Moses. In their eagerness to exalt the callings they claim to have, people, in their competitive postures, even create or corrupt callings to justify their activities in order to maintain the flow of their avaricious gains or the support of objectives arising from their passions and pride. They are individuals who think that their godliness is a source or means of gain for earthly riches for them, whose theme is widely addressed on the subjects of another gospel or a different gospel and the Christian and the riches. Moved by fleshly ambitions, even though they claim to be serving God, there are many people who adopt intense and fierce postures for the exaltation of what they call their callings, because they want to raise followers who are subject to them in order to have more people from whom they can extract their profits through the feigned godliness and humility they present to them. Those who compete with others to exalt their callings, and to the detriment of others, are pious and devoted to themselves or the love of money, as well as to titles or high offices under the feigned humility that they serve God, making the callings they claim to have, flags for which they fight and which they defend with the vilest and most terrible disillusions, lies, deceptions, and dissimulations. Those who compete with others to exalt their callings to the detriment of other people not only try to trade the word of God and exploit people, but also try to corrupt the mentality of what is indeed a calling from God and the eternal purpose of the Lord, for in the claim of the callings which they advocate to possess, they do not offer freedom for people to be free indeed in Christ. Instead, they aim to keep people subject to a mentality by which they present themselves as being superior to those they try to subject to them so that these do not stop following them. Let us see again below the text we quoted earlier. Acts 20, 29-31. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. At this point, we do not intend to dwell on the actions of those who compete to exalt the callings that they claim to have received from the Lord, but did not actually receive them or who do not act in the way for which they were called by the Lord, because, as we mentioned above, this theme is already addressed in other subjects of the systemic teaching about Christian life. Nevertheless, something that we understand to be highly relevant to remember here is that no one, no person, and no institution on earth received from the Lord the calling or any vocation to make spiritual disciples of themselves and followers of themselves. So, a Christian vocation to call people to a condition of discipleship is true if it is a call for a person to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not of men, women, or the institutions created and governed by human beings. Yet on the aspect of competitiveness, we understand that it is also worth emphasizing again that the calling of God in Christ Jesus for His children is not a vocation comparable to the callings made under the law of Moses or the so-called Old Covenant. For the people subject to the law of Moses, there were functions that could only be officiated by certain groups of people, and yet, among the special groups, there were those who could perform some functions more special than others. And the setting apart of persons specially appointed for the services in the tabernacles and temples, as well as the designation of what service each one would do in this order of Aaron, have always been grounds for competitiveness and envy. The people under the law of Moses were structured into distinct classes of people, where they were separated as a people in general and, on the other hand, the descendants of Levites, among whom, there was still the separation of those who were priests from those who were simply Levites. Furthermore, even among the priests, there were special priests who performed special services. And finally, there was the fellow designated as the people's high priest. All these divisions and separations of the Old Covenant created a mentality of special groups for special services, also creating a mentality and practices of constant disputes for positions and higher offices among the priests and Levites. The competitive mindset was and is inevitable in any type of system similar to the Old Covenant. Generation after generation, century after century, the system surrounding the law of Moses has made those who served it subject to envy and has corrupted the hearts of multitudes who have submitted to it, just as it continues to do in all models that resemble it. Matthew 23, 1, 2, and 5-7. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." In Christ, however, all dispute for offices, positions, or callings of God is impertinent, for, in the Lord, all Christians are equally called to be beloved children of God. And as such, they are all called to be saints at all times, in all places, and to see the other children of God as equally brothers and sisters who equally have one and only Heavenly Father and one and only Teacher, Lord, and Guide of their lives. Matthew 23, 8-12. "But you, do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, guides or leaders, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." In Aaron's order, there were a limited number of callings for some special service to be performed before God, or a limited number of positions to be filled. And the vocations considered to be the principal ones were funneled as in a hierarchical pyramid of functions and power, making the whole system based on human hierarchies and permeated with the most intense competitiveness. Nevertheless, in Christ, all this is very different because, as children of God, Christians are all heirs of the unsearchable riches of Christ and are heirs of the inexhaustible callings of God, there being no need for any role of mediation of some human beings towards God for the sake of other people. In Christ and the relationship between the children of God, there is no need for competitiveness, for the Lord calls everyone to direct fellowship with Him through His grace offered to all, and not according to a set of codes and rules of ministries that people wanted to experience through the priestly order of Aaron. In Christ, there is no need for competitiveness, as each Christian is even called to consider his fellow believers in Christ as superior to oneself and equally called to personal and direct fellowship with the eternal Lord. Philippians 2, 3. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself." In Christ, there is no need for competitiveness, for it is Christ who bestows the reward of the inheritance on everyone who serves Him. And Christ does it based on His grace and the individual and direct faithfulness of each Christian to Him, and not based on the superiority of a fellow believer in relation to another or based on a fellow believer denigrating and disqualifying the other. Ephesians 1, 16-18. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? In Christ, there is no need for competitiveness, as there are plenty of callings. And all the callings appointed by God are special, spiritual, and of perfect quality, as they all have the same source that originated them. 1 Corinthians 12, 6. And there are diversities of activities, works or doings, but it is the same God who works all in all. 1 Corinthians 12, 5. There are differences of ministries, or services, but the same Lord. Except for moving away from the understanding that it is the Lord who calls each of his children according to righteousness, or for losing sight of the fact that in God, there are endless callings and provisions to carry them out, why would a Christian envy some aspect of God's calling to another Christian if in the Lord one too can know what is appropriate for one's own life? Finally, we would like to mention that also concerning the relationships with the world in general, it is necessary to pay attention to competitiveness. A Christian, for example, is not necessarily called by God to be the best in the department in which one works, in the school one attends, or in some natural activity. It may often occur that Christians do not even have the best natural skills among the people with whom they work, study, or interact, as we saw in the text of 1 Corinthians 1, mentioned in the previous chapter. What God asks of his children who are in the present world is that they remember that they also are servants and stewards of God for whatever the Lord calls them to do, and that they are faithful regarding what God directs them to do, whether it generates or do not generate special natural prominence in the places where they are operating. In a given department of work, there may even be people who are more prepared for the job than a Christian. There may be people in the same workplace who consume their lives dedicated to work to the point of even reaching the edge of destroying their family lives to be the best at their professional tasks, which, in turn, a Christian is not called to do. A Christian is called to walk in everything according to heavenly righteousness before God. And in many cases, this may even cost the Christian the lack of human recognition in one's workplace when compared to others who have a job as their highest priority. The Christian is not called to compete with others, but to remain faithful in what the Lord instructs and trusts him or her to do. The Christian's aim should be to do one's activities as God directs one to do and according to the strength granted by the Lord to do them. The Christian's goal is to act in line with God's righteousness, honesty, without negligence, and above all, with the fear of God and not of men, letting the Lord grant the recognition and reward that will be most appropriate. Colossians 3, 23-25. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. The focus on competitiveness may easily make a Christian mirror oneself in other people's goals and not in the calling that God has for one's life, and, thus, becoming involved in the bondage of life and goals to which others may already be subjects. Competitiveness is a measure of horizontal comparison and may easily lead Christians to distance themselves from faithfulness to the Heavenly Father. God's conquering concepts and principles are very different from the world's conquering principles. And this is something a Christian should also always keep in mind. Psalms 37, 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Matthew 5, 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, or moderation. The competition between fellow believers in God and for the Lord's callings, which some proclaim to be healthy, can actually express a way of questioning God or resisting the Lord about the designation of callings that he himself grants for his children. Therefore, God expects from His stewards that they act in the callings given to them from the heavenly kingdom, that they are faithful to the Lord who called them, and that they are faithful in what they are called by God to be stewards. And yet, that they abstain from all inappropriate competitions in which people, the world, or the darkness want to involve them. Recalling once more a text quoted earlier, we highlight again what the Lord said to Peter when he asked him about the specific calling that the Lord had for John, as follows. John 21:20-22. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me.